if I listen long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true. Knowing that you lied straight-faced while I cried, still I look to find a reason to believe someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it easy to give. Never think about myself. If I gave you time to change my mind, I'd find a way just to leave the past behind. Knowing that you lied straight-faced while I cried, still I look to find a reason to believe. Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it easy to give. Never think about myself. Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it easy to give. Never think about myself.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday and another busy day in our nation, a sad busy day. I'm Nicole Sandler here on the Progressive Voices Network and at NicoleSandler.com. And, well, the voting is underway in Washington, D.C., and this has been a sad few hours. We've been watching the dominoes fall with statements from Shelley Moore Capito, who just last week said, I didn't come here to hurt people. Dean Heller of Nevada, who kind of said the same thing. We saw Rob Portman and apparently Ron Johnson just voted yes. John McCain is back from Arizona, flew in to cast a vote on a yes vote on the motion to proceed, to go ahead and debate a bill that up until I think the moment they stepped on the floor of the Senate today, most of them had no idea what they were voting on. I still don't know. Do you? Probably not, because they didn't want you to know. Because the more we know, isn't that the NBC thing? The more you know, the more we know, the more heinous it is. Again, this bill has a 12 to 17% approval rating. Depending on which bill it is, 12 to 17%. And now it's not over yet. I mean, what this does is it opens debate so they can debate. But you know what? If they had gone through the motions, the actual process that they do with most complicated legislation, where they have hearings in committees and the committees write the bill and they have more hearings and they debate in the committees. And then, you know, they go through that process. We would know more of what's in it. This was written in secret. It was forced through. And the thing is, the gaslighting portion of it is what gets to me. They talk about how, you know, Obamacare was rammed through in the dead of night with only Democratic votes. It wasn't rammed through. You've got these people have a really weird idea of the word rammed. I don't know what their definition is, but it's certainly not the same as mine. For going on 2 years, they wrote that bill in three different committees. They had hearing upon hearing upon hearing after hearing. And then the three committees brought their bills together in conference. And then it was brought to the, and in each committee, there were amendments offered. And then on the final bill, there were amendments offered. And amendments were put in by Republicans who voted for the amendments. And that's why those amendments made it into the bill, making Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, less stable than it otherwise would have been, less good than it otherwise would have been. And then when it came down to the end of it, those same Republican senators who got their amendments in the bill voted against the bill. That's why it passed with only Democratic votes. This time they didn't even try for the Republicans didn't even try to get any Democrats on it. They wanted to do it solely with Republican votes, and that's why they're doing this reconciliation thing. Now, this is, I guess, the skinny bill. They still don't know. Yeah, they still don't know what's in it, right? They're voting not knowing what's in it, not knowing what they're voting for, just to open debate. And I guess now we go through, I'm hoping, months and months of debate on this. I don't know what form it takes next. I guess we'll all find out together. Today is, it's a particularly, I was going to say bittersweet day, but there's nothing sweet about it. It's just a bitter day. It was 1 year ago today that I was diagnosed with lung cancer. I had gone through the tests. It was, about 3 weeks earlier that I had an episode that we thought was a heart attack that turned out not to be a heart attack, but an x-ray showed a mass on my lung. Then what followed were a number of tests leading up to a biopsy. And it was on July 25th. I was sitting in the studio, and at that time I was still up at Randy's studio. And it was about maybe an hour before showtime, a little less, that my phone rang, and it was my pulmonologist. And I knew once I heard his voice, the doctor doesn't call you unless there's something bad. And I conferenced my husband in on the call, and sure enough, he told me that it is adenocarcinoma, lung cancer. and my whole world changed. But you know what? I'm here today. I'm alive and I'm cancer-free because of the Affordable Care Act, because of Obamacare. That's what my insurance is through. The future, not so bright today. I have no idea what's in store. Neither do any of the millions of other people out there who are in the same position I'm in. And there are millions, millions and millions of us. All the phone calls we made, all the protests you went to, all the emails you wrote and the tweets you sent, that's all going to start over again in earnest as we move forward. We're going to have to be loud and louder and even louder than that. We've got our work cut out for us. Today's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. So what we're going to do is take a quick break. Before we get to what's news, though, I'm going to play a song. We have a friend of the show. Her name is Lauren Mayer. And Lauren Mayer does songs. You know, she does parody songs. And I've got one from her that fits today. We haven't heard from her recently because Lauren Mayer has been in the hospital suffering from pneumonia. Again, I don't know what the future holds for us if we get sick, if we get pneumonia, again, we're going to have to work our asses off to hold on to what we've got and make it better. Again, I've never said the Affordable Care Act was great. I haven't even said it was good. It falls short on so many levels, but it's so much better than what we had before. And it is something on which we can build. What we need is a public option. What we need is for people like you and I to be able to buy into Medicare, right? Without having to pay the exorbitant overhead fees that the for-profit insurance extortionists charge. It's a sad day in America. Yep. All right. So we'll take a break. We'll listen to a song. We'll get What's News and we'll get Gotta Laugh on the line. It's a Tuesday on the Nicole Sandler Show. We'll be right back.
We've heard GOPers say that they hate the ACA, and they swore that they could replace it really easily. But this bill justifies our fears, such swill after 7 years. It's the same old bait and switch, screw the poor, reward the rich. When asked about the people left out, their answer so far is use the ER. That totally sucks, they all sound like schmucks to me. Tell me why are they shackling, healthcare's complicated. I see the way they're trying to ram it through before the voters realize we hate it. And we say, hey there. They try and they lie and they schmooze and say choose between healthcare and an iPhone. Honestly, they promised we would see a really neat replacement. No. This mess is a crying shame. Access and coverage aren't the same. I've got access to a yacht, not the dough to buy it though. They claim small's better anyway. Well, with Trump, what else could they say? It's dumb, heartless, and unfair. The name should be Trump Doesn't Care. Now they're in power, they're seizing the hour, but their right wing is sure arguing. I wish them success in fighting the mess they made. Not tell me why are they shocked to learn healthcare's complicated. Hello, it's healthcare. Trying to pass a plan before it's analyzed or debated or seen as wealth care. For years they've squealed the peel, but as this travesty reveals, honestly, we ought to see the better way is single payer.
Single payer.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On Tuesday, the Senate will vote on a motion to proceed to open debate on some sort of Obamacare repeal bill. One problem is that on Tuesday morning, no one knows exactly which bill they'll be voting on. It could be a straight repeal and delay replacement for 2 years bill. It could be the last version of the Senate's Better Care Reconciliation Act, or a newer one that no one has yet seen. The New York Times reporting Tuesday morning that the Senate will vote on the bill that narrowly passed the House, about which some senators said,
I don't know the details of how it's coming from the House right now, but my guess is we're going to spend at least a month looking at the issue.
You know, I think that the House Freedom Caucus made it a lot less bad is one of the nicest things I can think to say.
No amendments, debated for 3 or 4 hours. Anytime you have a process like this, hasn't been scored, you got to be suspicious.
Well, the Senate will write its own bill. I mean, that's the way it works, right? And so they'll pass theirs, we'll pass ours.
Do you like the House bill?
I frankly haven't paid that much of attention.
Really,
there's no reason for me to, because we will take it up here.
At the end of the day, I think there'll be a Senate bill, and then those two bills at some point will have to come together.
The House bill is not going to come before us. The Senate is starting from scratch. We're going to draft our own bill.
We're all involved in discussing the way forward, and we'll address the issue in the coming weeks.
Senator Angus King was on CNN's New Day Tuesday morning.
What plan are you voting on today for health care?
Let me give you a quick synopsis of what I know about the bill that we're going to be voting on this afternoon. I'm absolutely serious.
Notes.
There is no one who knows. I talked to two senior Republicans last Thursday afternoon. I said, what are we going to be voting on Tuesday? They said, we have no idea. I think it's going to be the House bill, but then there may be a substitute amendment. And it's... I've never seen a process like this. No hearings, no discussion, and to be talking about 1/6 of the U.S. economy and tens of millions of people without any understanding of what the implications are, I really don't understand.
Whichever version they vote on would result in over 22 million Americans losing health care coverage. The president held an event at the White House on Monday featuring so-called Obamacare victims, then went to West Virginia to speak at the Boy Scout Jamboree, where he regaled the scouts with stories of cocktail parties with hot guests, talked politics, and even relived his election night win.
We won Florida. We won South Carolina. We won North Carolina. We won Pennsylvania. We won and won. So when they said, there is no way to victory. There is no way to 270. You know, I went to Maine 4 times because it's one vote, and we won. But we won. One vote. I went there because I kept hearing we're 269. But then Wisconsin came in many, many years. Michigan came in. So, and we worked hard there. You know, my opponent didn't work hard there.
Trump also introduced his Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price while demanding that Tuesday's vote to kill Obamacare pass.
Secretary Tom Price is also here, and hopefully he's going to get the votes tomorrow to start our path toward killing this horrible thing known as Obamacare that's really hurting us. So, by the way, you're going to get the votes? He better get them. He better get them. Oh, he better. Otherwise, I'll say, Tom, you're fired. I'll get somebody.
More importantly, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, who's been leaning towards a no vote, was Trump's guest on Air Force One to her home state and at the rally, undoubtedly subject to immense pressure to vote for repeal. Senator John McCain, recently diagnosed with brain cancer, announced Monday night that he will return to the Senate for the Tuesday vote, giving Republicans a critical vote. Tuesday morning began with another tweet storm from the president on the day's planned vote and again berating his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, adding fuel to the fire of stories reporting that he and his advisors are floating possible replacements should Sessions resign or be fired. The newly named White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was on Fox Tuesday morning.
Does he want the attorney general to go? He called him beleaguered yesterday. I've never heard a commander in chief call his own attorney general beleaguered.
Look, I know that he is certainly frustrated and disappointed in the attorney general for recusing himself. But as we've said, I think that's a decision that if the president wants to make, he certainly will. And he's continuing to move forward.
Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and a senior White House advisor, told investigators with the Senate Intelligence Committee behind closed doors on Monday he had met with Russian officials four times last year, but said he didn't collude with Moscow to influence the 2016 election.
Let me be very clear. I did not collude with Russia, nor do I know of anyone else in the campaign who did so. I had no improper contacts. I have not relied on Russian funds for my businesses. And I have been fully transparent in providing all requested information.
Kushner goes before the House Intelligence Committee on Tuesday. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports, check out The Nicole Sandler Show, Tuesday through Friday, 3 to 4 Eastern, at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Every Tuesday, Gotta Laugh hangs with us. So, and I think, and I know there's a new computer on the other end. So, hello.
Yes, you've reached the Prince Jared's big interview hotline.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Press 1 if you think Prince Jared was all smiles as he left his Senate interview, because if he lied convincingly, daddy-in-law promised him a new blow-up doll. Press 2 if you think Prince Jared would have smiled even more if they'd let him wear his ultra-spiffy military-grade Kevlar vest over his preppy blazer and Santorum-inspired sweater vest. Mm. Press 3 if you think Jared's excuses, lies, stupidity, and pleas of ignorance just shows that he's a chip off the old crock. In law.
Yes.
Have a nice day.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, 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 ay. I can't even stand it.
So you watched the vote. The vote happened just as I was going on the air. So I guess I was spared that.
But you were.
Watching the chat room.
Yeah, well, John McCain walked out and everybody stopped what they were doing and applauded him and gave him hugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, suddenly it was announced John McCain and Ron Johnson both voted aye. And that was that.
That was that. Do we know what Lisa Murkowski did?
She was a nay. Oh, wait, Murkowski. Yeah, she. Wait, was it she and what's
Susan
her name?
Collins,
I believe, were the two noes.
There were two noes?
Yeah, there were two no's.
Hmm.
And so that was all about Ron Johnson. I mean, I don't know why people were saying, well, McCain could change this. There was no way he was going to change this, or he wouldn't have flown in.
Right. Right. Because he wouldn't have needed to fly in. He would have been he wouldn't have been a no vote, but he wouldn't have been a yes vote. And they needed the yeses. So having no vote as opposed to vote. Rand Paul.
Right. Rand Paul was a no early on in the vote. And I think he was pretty much announcing that, wasn't he, yesterday?
McConnell promised him a vote on a straight repeal. So do we even know what they voted on?
No, nobody knows what they voted on. That's the whole thing. Everybody was saying yesterday, I saw a tweet fly by 30 minutes before the vote started. People didn't know what was on.
Right. So I still don't know. I have no idea what they voted on. Now, the New York Times this morning, as I reported in What's News, said they were going to vote on the House bill just as a shell, because everything is going to change with the amendment process, with the debate and amendment process. So, but this way, because it's already passed the House, then they, you know, can do what they do to it and send it back. I guess it saves a step. I don't know,
but there's another facet to this whole thing that is really bothering me, and it's come up on Twitter, too, and that is If they do take a recess, if they do this and then get to finally take a recess that's been put off, that opens the door for Trump to appoint a new attorney general.
Well, but you know, this is another topic entirely. Let's finish with healthcare. So people are asking in the chat room. So what did they pass? What they passed? This was the motion to proceed. Basically, it's a cloture vote, opening debate on. Opening this whatever bill it was up to debate. Yeah. So now they will begin debating it and amending it and doing whatever they do to it, basically rewriting the thing. Who knows how long this is going to go on? There's so little we know. We got to try to get some answers. But the can now, Randy Lover is saying the can is kicked down the road. Not really. They've achieved the cloture vote to open debate on it. So it's the next step. The next vote they take. Well, they'll take votes on amendments. Supposedly it's an open amendment process, so anyone can offer amendments. I would expect Democrats will be offering lots of amendments.
They should.
There would be a public option amendment, you know, offered. There will be a lot of things offered. We'll see what happens. The next time they vote on this bill, it will be to pass it. That's how it works. Right. The next vote will be another procedural vote, a cloture vote to close debate. And then the vote on the bill itself.
Mm-hmm. So, and right now, McCain is speaking to the Senate. I have no idea what he's talking about because I have the sound off.
Yeah,
they started immediately.
They said that after today's vote, he was going to address the Senate. I guess we'll find out later what he said.
I don't really care what he has to say.
Nor do I. What a disappointment. Yeah. You know, this is a guy who's got the best health care in the world. He will be undergoing treatment with, Senate health care. Better than you and I get. And by the way, actually, I think under Obamacare, they have the same coverage we have. Basically, they go on an exchange. It's slightly different than the exchanges, for instance, that the people in D.C. would go on. But still, they go on an exchange. They pick a plan. It's the same process by which they get health care, but I'm sure their plans are much better than the run-of-the-mill
ones. They have the ultra gold, platinum, whatever.
Right.
He had nothing to lose. He could have actually come out a hero here.
He really could have.
Yeah, he could have. He said, you know, he's not running for re-election. He's suffering from a terrible thing, and he could say, you know what, I want to make sure everybody has care and that it's going to be easy for them. So screw this and be the maverick he claims to be. Now they're all applauding him.
Right. He has Medicare as well. He's also, but the supplemental to the Medicare is what we're talking about. He's got the best of the best. One thing about McCain, he has always said in the past that he will always vote on a motion to proceed. He doesn't believe in not allowing debate.
So I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
But he also said just last week regarding this whole process that he thinks they need to start over, that they need to go through the process as I was describing before the break, you know, go to committee, write the bill, have hearings, do what they're supposed to do. And that's not what they did here. Democrats are cheering.
Not even
McCain.
Close. Aye. You know, and I don't know how I think that the protesters and the indivisible people and everybody else I can think of did a really good job of communicating to their congresspeople. I don't think, there was any problem getting people to protest. Oh, and by the way, speaking of protest, I saw a couple of tweets go by a couple of journalists saying that they were not letting anybody take photos.
What, inside?
In the Senate.
I don't think they ever do.
No, this was different. They were outraged. I wish I could find the tweets. I'd have to go look, but this was, everybody was outraged.
I don't know about that. I know there were protesters, I believe, in the Senate chamber, and people were being arrested right up until the time of the vote.
Right. But it wasn't that. It was people who, I don't know, I wish I could find that. I can go, while you're talking, I can go look at my feed. But it was something that was utterly outrageous that a whole bunch of people jumped on. So it was unusual.
Well, welcome to the new reality. Everything is unusual.
Yeah.
right?
Absolutely. Rules, absolutely.
Things that have been are no longer. Look, the fact that Shelley Moore Capito was on Air Force One with the president last night, what a disappointment she turned out to be. Not that I had illusions that she'd do the right thing, but Donald Trump is like no president ever before in history. He just doesn't give a shit. And not only does he not give a shit, I think he just doesn't know. He doesn't know what the history is. He doesn't know what the protocols are. He doesn't know how things have worked in the past and frankly doesn't care. He's running the nation the way he ran his own private business, not public business. Trump Organization, I guess, is not traded publicly, so he can run it and has however he cares to. And that's exactly how he's treating the country. And nobody is standing up to him. So what you were talking about before, Laffy, about the recess appointment, this is what's really, really scary.
If you'll excuse me, I found the tweet just so we can
put
this to
go
rest.
Ahead.
Jennifer Bendery, right. whose tweets are pretty darn good.
She's Huffington Post, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. She said reporters blocked from Senate halls where protesters being arrested, shouting, kill the bill, being told, no photos, delete your photos.
Wow.
And I saw several of those tweets go by, just so you know. And somebody responded to her, you mean our halls? And, those are our halls.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then everyone's saying, post the photos now, post them to iCloud. But, so they can't do anything. But I don't know what that was about or who said it. Was it some kind of a staffer? I don't know who was giving the orders. But those are the tweets that I saw, something like
wow.
that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the recess appointment.
So the attorney general. So Trump is this morning again. He was tweeting up a tweet storm early this morning, going after Jeff Sessions. I didn't write down the tweets, but he called him. What did he call him the other day? I can't remember the word he used. Not embattled.
Beleaguered.
Beleaguered, right. And today he was after him. Why doesn't he do something about Hillary Clinton? Come on! Hillary Clinton's
he's
a private...
so stuck in this. Oh, my God. And with the Boy Scouts, he's saying the same thing. I won with the electoral map, and they said I couldn't
win. We'll get
win.
To that. We'll get to that.
Right.
So
there's so much.
The word is, that Trump actually doesn't like firing people. He wants him to quit. The same thing with Sean Spicer, how he used to belittle him and demean him, and Sean Spicer, and now, by hiring Anthony Scaramucci, that was the last straw, and it got Spicer to quit, which is what Trump wanted all along. So now he wants Jeff Sessions to quit. Jeff Sessions, look, I've got mixed feelings on this one. Jeff Sessions never should have been made Attorney General, but here's the rub, as they say. If Sessions quits or is forced out or is fired before the recess, Trump could make a recess appointment of a new attorney general who wouldn't be subject to Senate approval and would remain in that role until January of 2019.
Right. Right. And that's, people were saying to me, so what if, it'll take a while for the Senate to approve somebody new, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, no. This isn't a good thing. You don't want to wish for this. Yes, we hate Sessions and he stands for everything that we detest, but the way this is happening is very not kosher. Or if it's kosher, it may be legal, but it's scary.
Yeah, but you know what? Mitch McConnell could stop that from happening because, remember, he could technically not put the Senate into recess as he did
like
with
he
did with Obama for the last year or so. It was never in recess because they didn't want him to be able to make a recess appointment. So
exactly.
But there, a lot of the senators, remember, Jeff Sessions was a member of the Senate for a long time, and he's got a lot of friends among that Republican caucus who don't like Trump. And with Trump's approval rating so low, it's a tenuous situation here. But Mitch McConnell, I don't see him doing the right thing in any scenario.
Oh, know. That's the thing. We're talking about Mitch McConnell here. So whatever we want, he won't do. So, you know, that's how I look at it. Anyway, if even if it's the right thing to do, even if he has any kind of loyalty to Sessions, that's not what he's going to do. He wants to bug the Dems as much as he can. And also it's this whole thing of their agenda. You know, if they start fighting Trump too much, there's too much chaos, and they don't look like they can pass something.
That's
in that
true.
Case. So,
but I will say this for McConnell. The mm-hmm. one time he stood up to Trump so far is when Trump was tweeting out, we need to do away with the legislative filibuster. Remember, after they did away with the filibuster for Supreme Court nominees, he said we need to do away with the 60-vote threshold for bills. And McConnell put his foot down. He said, no, we're not going to do that. There are some rules of the Senate that they want to keep, intact, because as I hear everybody talking, any voices that I respect are saying that if Trump forces Sessions out, and the reason he would force Sessions out is to be able to facilitate the firing of Bob Mueller. That then we're in the midst of a real constitutional crisis. Now, how that manifests is a question. Are people going to take to the streets? Because that's what would happen in a real constitutional crisis. I don't know that this country is up for it, because look at all they've taken so far. I don't know.
I don't know either. And I also don't know if I believe Republicans who say, no, we won't stand for it if he tries to get rid of Mueller. That would be a big deal. I'm not sure I believe them. I think, they're saying that.
I believe some of them. I do believe. Mm-hmm. I believe
there
are.
You think some will?
I think some will. I've always thought Susan Collins was very dangerous. I have more respect for her right now than many of the Democrats.
Oh yeah, I she stood by what she said. Yeah, I agree.
She didn't give in to the pressure, and she stood her ground. She mm-hmm. she did what she said she was going to do, and it was about the people of Maine for her. And good for her. She didn't give in to the pressure that Trump is putting on her. But Trump is putting pressure on people like we've never seen a president pressure people. He's saying things like that in the past you would never in a million years hear out of the mouth of a president. He just doesn't give a shit.
Right. That's right. He doesn't at all. And the more he doesn't, and the more he disrupts things, and the more he, I'm so sick of this phrase, does, what do they always say, uncharted water, or we're in uncharted waters.
Territory.
I'm so sick of hearing that. But the more they say it, the happier he is, because that's where he wants to be.
He's seeing how far he can push it, and so far nobody's standing up to him.
Right. It's ridiculous. I cannot believe the things that we've been witnessing, even in just the past week. You know how this whole Russia thing where the Republicans are kind of just sitting back and saying, well, we're going to stand by the president. I think it's okay. I don't think Kushner said it. It's a lot of sort of shrugging their shoulders and double talk and walking away from the mics. That is insane. If Obama had done one zillionth.
Oh my God.
We're talking about the Boy Scouts, him getting up in front of the Boy Scouts and saying what he said. I tweeted out today. Do you remember the video when Obama was president and a classroom of young children were being taught a song in support of Obama? Remember?
It was indoctrination.
Yes.
He was indoctrinating our youth.
Yes. And so I said, if this is indoctrination, if that's what Republicans call indoctrination, where kids are singing a supportive song about basically their president, it didn't matter if it was Obama, then what is talking to 40,000 Boy Scouts politically?
Right. And he said, I'm in front of the Boy Scouts. What do I want to talk politics for? And then all
what
he did was talk politics. What the hell? Right.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, the Boy Scouts of America have so far been silent on it.
They put out a statement.
Did they?
It was just like, we don't get into politics or something.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Remember. It was it's sort of a typical statement.
Then they
statement.
Shouldn't have invited the president to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Especially this one, because they knew. Everybody knows if you get him in front of a mic, he's going to say something not only political, but politically incorrect. So, and that's an understatement. I just used the word political. But they should have known better, and they didn't. Or they did and they didn't care.
By the way, speaking of Susan Collins, Vermont Gina in the chat room. By the way, every time I see it, her name in the chat room.
It looks like vagina, right?
It looks like vagina. Every time I see it, I see vagina. Sorry, Gina. I get it, but it's VT and then GINA. So I always see vagina. It's like do a double take. She said something about Susan Collins was caught on a hot mic talking with Jack Reed, who is a Democrat. I pulled the audio. It's kind of hard to hear, but I have the transcript. So do you want to hear it?
Yes. Yes, I do. I read it, but I haven't heard. Somebody sent me the tape and I couldn't get on right away. So yeah, please.
Okay. So I'll play it. And if the things that are hard to hear, I'll try to chime in and tell you what they're saying here. So what this was, it was after a subcommittee hearing and Susan Collins forgot to turn her microphone off. So they were chatting. You do hear other voices, other people talking, because she wasn't talking into the mic. It was just her hot mic picking up what she was saying. But they were talking. Well, here it goes.
This is crazy. I mean, I don't say that lightly and as a kind of, you know, a goofy guy.
That was after he said, I think he's crazy, referring to Trump. I don't say that lightly.
You know, if we don't get a budget deal,
I know.
We're going to be paralyzed. DOD is going to be paralyzed. Everybody's going to be paralyzed.
I know.
And he hasn't said anything.
I don't even think he knows that there is a BC.
A budget control act or anything, Collins is saying here.
The Ford commissioner said, I want them to pass my budget. Okay. $54 billion. Then we take it away across the board, which is of course chaos and competition. And he has not one word about the budget, not one word about the debt ceiling.
Not one word about the debt ceiling, he said.
You got Mulvaney saying we're going to put in all sorts of stuff like.
You know what? This is really it's hard to hear, right?
It really is. Yeah.
Okay, so let me.
And I have a good headset on right now, finally. And yes,
let me read you the transcript because it's easier that way. So, all right. After Reed praises Collins' leadership of the hearing, she laments the administration's handling of spending. She says, I swear the Office of OMB, Office of Management and Budget, just went through and wherever there was grant, they just exit out with no measurement, no thinking about it, no metrics, no nothing. It's just incredibly irresponsible. Reed replies, yes, I think he's crazy, apparently referring to the president. I mean, I don't say that lightly and as a kind of a goofy guy. Collins says, I'm worried. Oof, Reed continues. You know, this thing, if we don't get a budget deal, we're going to be paralyzed. Collins replies, I know. Reed says, Department of Defense is going to be paralyzed. Everyone is going to be paralyzed. Then Collins says, I don't think he knows there's a BCA, Budget Control Act, or anything, referring to the 2011 law that defines the budget process. And then Reed says he was down at the Ford commissioning, referring to the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier launch event that he was at the other day, saying, I want them to pass my budget. Okay, so we give him $54 billion, and then we take it away across the board, which would cause chaos. Collins replies, right. Reed says, it's just, and he hasn't, not one word about the debt ceiling. Good point, Collins replies. And then Reed says again, you've got Mick Mulvaney, the budget director, saying we're going to put in all sorts of stuff like a border wall. Then you've got Mnuchin saying it's got to be clean. We're going to be back in September, and you know, you're going to have crazy people in the House. And then they went off, they started talking about the recording with Blake Fahrenthold of Texas. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Blake Fahrenthold, a congressman from Texas, suggested that if Collins and he was talking about Murkowski and the other and then
Capito,
who at that time was against it, suggesting that if they were men, he'd have challenged them to a duel for opposing the Senate's, you know, over Obamacare kill bill. And then Collins says, did you see the one who challenged me to a duel? And Reed says, I know, trust me. Do you know why he challenged you to duel? Because you could beat the shit out of him. And Collins says, well, he's huge. And I don't mean to be unkind, but he's so unattractive. It's unbelievable. Did you see the picture of him in his pajamas next to the Playboy bunny? She continued. And at that point, the mic went dead.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. So,
oh, man. Well, right now, Trump is at that pretend news conference that he's having.
Oh, so, Greg, you know, sure. This is what kills me. So you thought, you said, you wrote to me earlier in a tweet that Trump is supposed to have a presser at 3 o'clock. Should we carry it live? And I said, right. You know, this is what gets me. Trump has had one press conference since he's become president. One. It was in February. And since then, the only times he's taken like organized questions from the media has been when there's a foreign leader with him and they do what they call two and twos, where there's two questions from the American press and two questions from the press of the country that the leader is visiting us. So this is the Lebanese prime minister who's at the White House today. So they're going to do, that's all. They're taking, you know, they each do a statement and then they take two questions. And the media is calling that a press conference because it's the only time they get with him.
Exactly. What the reason I thought he was having a press conference is MSNBC had one of those little corner pictures that stays up saying 3 p.m. And then it says something like Trump press conference. And I thought, oh, the reason they're putting that up like that is for once he's having a real press conference.
Right.
He never does.
Nope.
And you told me, you know, because I'm changing over to my new computer, I was unable to see a lot of what was going on over the last 24 hours. So you set me straight on that one. I was like, oh, God, another 2 plus 2, which is, like you said, the two questions for each.
Yep, that's it.
So that's it. So it gives Trump an opportunity to first of all, read like a first grader off of a script he's never read and then annotate it as he goes.
Yep.
And then answer.
And then say, nobody knew that. Can you believe that? Nobody knew that before.
Exactly. And then brag about the electoral map and then talk about past health care. And apparently, from one of the Chirons I'm reading, he told in this little presser he's having, he told Sessions to stop the leakers, you know, got to get on that kind of thing. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Who cares? Do you want to do tweets box? I'd love to read that Amanda, I don't know how to say her name, Ginsburg from the New York Times.
Let's
that,
do
that
it.
Tweet storm.
Let's,
okay.
Let's do it.
Welcome to my tweet
Okay, take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to do the last one first because the other ones are getting dated already. But Amanda Ginsburg, who spells her name, just so you guys know, G-U-I-N-Z-B-U-R-G, if you want to look her up, she apparently writes for The New Yorker and The New York Times. And she did a long series of tweets that I sort of made into paragraphs. And they go a little something like this. She's talking about Prince Jared Kushner. And she had some personal experience with him. And she said, what Kushner's doing with these disclosures is exactly how he played it when he was my landlord.
Uh-oh.
The arsons uh-huh. and construction malfeasance were denied as they were happening. As the fires were set one after the other, as the demolition happened and the wires were being exposed, whoa, as a guy bored a hole through a wall playing music on a stereo at top volume, a hole to nowhere for zero purpose other than to drive us out, as children ran out of smoke-filled hallways, as a once healthy two-year-old had to go to go on a nebulizer because of the toxic dust, as we got sick, in caps, everything was denied and explicitly lied about until we started filing police reports and the local media started reporting it. Only when threatened with serious legal action and his overall investment looked more vulnerable did Kushner and company start acknowledging reality. What I'm saying is, he has a playbook. He's a professional at breaking the law, but has done so carefully enough to avoid prosecution. That's in real estate. He's out of his depth now. But Jared Kushner is not dumb. He is dangerous. His security clearance should be revoked. Can you imagine the arrogance of ignoring the law on those disclosure forms, hiding $1 billion in loans? It's dizzying. But it doesn't surprise me. He thinks he's untouchable, an actual prince of the city. I repeat, he is dangerous. Money is his only master. He's not there for fame. He's there for power. I think Donald Trump is a malignant narcissist, but I don't think he's actually a sociopath. Jared Kushner, at least the Jared Kushner who torments residents of his New York City properties in order to drive them out for the money, is a sociopath. So if you never read what I wrote in January when I realized this mercenary slumlord was headed to the White House, here it is.
Wow.
And then she links to her post.
Wow.
That's pretty scathing.
That really is. I had heard stories about him, but never anything that malignant.
And right now, I just got an alert saying that Trump on whether Attorney General Sessions will stay in the job, quote, "We will see what happens. Time will tell."
Ugh. Ugh.
Here. And then it says, Trump says Yellen absolutely in running to stay as Fed chair, also sees Gary Cohn as top contender.
For what? Fed chair? So I guess Yellen is not secure in her post as Fed chair.
That's what I got out of it. Yeah. So anyway, that's the latest on Jared Darling with his little Kevlar vest and his little super duper ultra secret missions to the Middle East that he's failing miserably at. But on to other tweets, if you'd like.
Okay. I have a short tweet storm from Judd Legume of Think Progress. Right before the vote happened, he put out seven tweets in a row about the vote that was coming. And he wrote, "This motion to proceed to vote is a perfect encapsulation of Republican politics in the Trump era. It is a vote stripped of all substance. Instead of actually considering the issues, it's just a vote of party loyalty. Then, in the chaos that ensues, they'll take whatever they can get. They used to call the Senate the world's greatest deliberative body, LOL. We used to read, analyze, and debate bills. Now no one even knows what they're voting on. The reason is that whenever they say what's in the bill, people are against it. Who knew you could get people to vote if you just kept everything secret?"
There you go. That's it.
And that's
they're
what we just
on
had.
Nothing. It's like the Seinfeld show, a show about nothing. That's
what
this
except
is.
Yeah, except this is going to kill people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they don't care. That's what's so amazing. They have either convinced themselves that this wouldn't happen or, in my opinion, they just don't care, because the people they think they're going to kill are people that may vote for Democrats. They think people, all poor people, are going to vote for Democrats. So those people, if they die, meh. But they don't realize how many of those people are in red states that voted for Trump.
Yep. Well, a lot of Trump voters are, you know, I heard a comment from one of them saying, "I don't even know why I was against Obamacare at the beginning. Probably because I was told to be, but now is freaking out because this person is going to lose access to their insurance."
Mm-hmm. That's right. I, you know, like I've been saying forever, and so have you, until it affects people directly, until people feel it, they don't, it's sort of a nebulous out there, sort of a supposition, you know, what if, it's not real to them. But and then suddenly when they can't access a doctor or they have to pour out every bit of their life savings because they too find they have cancer, all of a sudden their eyes are open.
Yep.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yep, it really is.
Oh, God. Anyway, so yesterday there was a little talk, according to Sean Kent, a comic and a podcaster. He said Rudy Giuliani will replace Jeff Sessions because an Alabama racist wouldn't sink as low as Trump wanted.
Right.
And then CNN's Jeff Zeleny said
Giuliani.
And also
Ted Cruz.
Who was the other one?
Ted Cruz
both said they're not interested. So, you know,
well, they said that they weren't being eyed or no one had spoken to them about it. I don't think either said that they weren't interested.
Oh, okay. I totally misread what I saw then.
Right.
Yeah.
But what Giuliani said is that Sessions made the right decision based on the law that he had to recuse himself.
Yes.
And
he
also said anybody who took part in the campaign, and Giuliani was part of the campaign, so he'd have to recuse himself too. So I don't think
that's true.
Yep. Yeah.
And also there was some talk about another senator being brought in would just, you know, Trump would destroy the next attorney general and he'd lose a Senate seat. So,
right.
Oh,
can you imagine if it was Cruz? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Ugh. Anyway, Igor Volsky, you know, he's so good sometimes. He's now deputy director of Cap Action.
Okay.
He says, confirmed, Republicans still don't know what they'll be voting on to proceed to in 24 hours. And he does a Politico quote, "Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his leadership team are urging the GOP caucus to cough up the 50 votes needed to begin debate on nixing the Democratic health care law, even though Republicans aren't even sure what they'll be voting on and no proposal has the votes to pass. If McConnell's gambit fails by just one vote, Republicans hope they can take another shot if and when McCain returns from cancer treatment." Oh, well, that's dated.
Yep, and the next one is as well. Well, yeah. The next one actually is about what I was talking about before, Fahrenthold. Yes. And, you know, that he said that he'd challenge these female senators, if they were men, to a duel.
Right.
This
right.
pig, but
they're all pigs. I see these people on TV, these Republicans who turn themselves into pretzels trying to defend what's been going on, and they simply can't, and they change the subject, and they aren't challenged. And then if they are challenged by a host with balls like Ali Velshi, they can't answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how many times can you put somebody in a corner and they try to squirm out of it, so then they go on to the next topic? So, ugh.
Blah. Right.
All right, so...
you did have the response from Frank Thorpe, though.
Yeah, Frank Thorpe responds to what you said about the female senators and being challenged to a duel. He says, weird that Representative Fahrenthold didn't challenge Senators Paul, Cruz, Lee, Heller, Portman, Moran, or Hoven. How do you say that?
Hoven. Yeah.
To a duel when they opposed the BCRA.
Cool.
So he only challenges women.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine. Because he... Well, we saw the picture of him with the Playboy bunny. The thing I said cool to, by the way, Moon Truth came into the chat room and said, how about that John McCain sort of told off Mitch McConnell in his soliloquy about regular order? Nothing like a little brain cancer to change your perspective. We don't know what he said. So maybe he said something about regular order. I don't know. Now I'm curious to hear what he said.
He was up there for quite a while talking.
Well,
so
I'm
we'll
sure
find out.
That might be his, you know, not to be defeatist or anything, but that might be his last big, you know, time in front of the camera on the Senate floor.
Meanwhile, in response to what we just said about voting for the healthcare thing, my buddy on Twitter, he goes by Geniality of Evil, and he said, I imagine they voted yes just so they could actually read the thing.
Yeah.
What? You know?
Come, wait.
That's the way it is.
David watched. Hold on. He's going to tell us what McCain said.
Oh, great.
McCain
okay.
said we should go back to regular order and debate things the way the Senate used to. It's supposed to work that way, blah, 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 blah. After he voted for the bill to go ahead in advance. So here's a guy who gets the best health care in the world and then votes to put it in jeopardy for people in this country as well. It was a great speech, a moving speech. I give the guy all the credit in the world, but fuck him.
Yeah.
That's my husband,
in fact,
everybody.
One of my other buddies on Twitter said he's the cartoonist who does non sequitur, Riley.
Oh.
And he said John McCain went from being a POW to a POS.
Yeah, very I mean, cool. Look, so he said the right thing in his speech, but he still voted for the motion to proceed. Again, I will say about McCain that he has always said that and I don't know if historically it's true or not, but that he has said he'll always vote for the motion to proceed because he doesn't believe in not debating. But I don't know if that's real or just him puffing himself up.
No. The important thing is what he does, not what he says.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like with Trump. Trump does all these ridiculously stupid tweets that make him sound like an absolute moron, deranged fool. And everyone's talking about his deranged tweets. And then he goes off and does something that we don't like. So,
yeah.
Not good.
Well,
not good.
Do you watch AM Joy?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see Ron Perlman this weekend?
I did, but I didn't get to watch the segment. I saw him tomorrow. And
okay, well, all right. So I'm going to share this with you because I thought it was so good. The actor Ron Perlman, who I know he played the Beast in one permutation of Beauty and the Beast. People know, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Right. So he was on in a segment with a guy who is a linguist, and they were talking about Donald Trump's speech patterns.
Yes.
Okay, so that was the context. And so,
that's what I saw. That's the only part I saw.
Okay, so so Joy asked Ron Perlman a question, and he answered, and I'm going to set it up and tell you he was doing Trump, because I played it for David with no setup, and he didn't get it at first. And then after I said he was doing Trump, he's like, oh, and he went back and listened. All right, so this is again, he's not doing the voice, but he's doing the speech patterns, the way Trump talks.
I don't know if you know this, but I had this trip to France. I was just there with the head guy. What's his name?
Emmanuel Macron.
Alfonso Macron. And he narrowly beat Le Pen. I think she won. But I don't, I mean, look, you know, they'll, it's, who knows? Anyway, Macron, great guy. Never knew he was a great guy. He's French. Never knew he was a great guy. He's a very hot wife. We're talking, and you know, all my properties, I have this dessert. It's called the Eclair. It's phenomenal. It has everything. It's like long. It's a little, you know, the shape of it is very, very, you know what I'm saying. And so, and it has this chocolate on the top, and then there's something in the middle of it. I don't know what it is, but it's, Joy, I don't know if you know this, but anyway, I'm talking with my new friend, Alfonso Macron, and Alfonso says to me, the Eclair. The Eclair. And I didn't realize this, but we have Napoleon to thank for the Eclair. That's it. The Eclair is named after Napoleon.
Anyway, I thought it was very funny. By the way, Ron Perlman, Sons of Anarchy, Aliens, Hellboy, Alien Resurrection. So, you know, in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I definitely knew who he was. You know, it's funny because I saw the introduction to that and I'm like, oh, I want to watch this, you know, but then something came up, but we're getting another renovation done. So I'm always interrupted. And I came back to hear like maybe two sentences. And I knew I missed everything because those two sentences were out of context. So,
yes,
yeah,
and
it really
right. If it's out of context, you don't know. Yeah. But it took me a second because Joy asked him a question and he just launched into it. I got it pretty quickly. But when I just played it for David, again, totally out of context, he had no idea what it was about.
It was really, really spot on. I mean, you just listen to that. That is the stupidest cadence, since you know, everything about it is so ridiculous. It's so the thing about him is he's so childlike. I don't want to say childlike because that's implies innocence,
right?
And kind of sweetness.
No, childish. That's why he felt so at home talking to the Boy Scouts, because he felt like he was talking to his peers.
And they'll say yay to anything, you know. They've got their hats. He gave them free hats, so yay.
Oh, he did.
Oh,
all
boy,
right.
He's all the president talking. Yay. That was embarrassing. And then he had to make mention again of how big the audience was. Who cares?
Yes. And the cameras won't show the crowd. They'll say, I spoke with a few Boy Scouts. Meanwhile, the CNN cameras were showing the whole crowd. But yeah, but everything about him, and he went and relitigated the entire electoral college map and the election again. How insecure does this man have to be?
Either that, or he runs out of things to talk about.
Or his dick is so tiny that he just, this is how he gets off.
It's embarrassing. And his tweets, if you just read them and didn't see his name over them and just read, you'd think they were from some idiotic 10-year-old or 5-year-old with big capital letters and calling names and the whole sentence structure, just as Ron Perlman was talking about. So juvenile and so unhinged. I mean, I'm embarrassed that our Congress is GOP, I should say, the GOP Congress is letting this go by without a fight.
Well, let's hope that if he does try to fire what's his name, Sessions again, I don't defend Sessions. I'd love to see him out of there.
Of course not.
But
right.
If he tries some nonsense with a recess appointment, that they step in and stop it, because we are headed to a constitutional crisis. Anyway, gotta laugh. We're out of time. So with that, I'll talk to you. Well, we'll see you here next week, but I'll talk to you later.
Talk before. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Tomorrow on the show, Dave Daly is the author of the book Rat Fucked. And I like just saying it, but it's all about gerrymandering. And boy, it's another thing that's facing us now. So with that, we'll sign off. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Nicole Sandler Show. NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's Tuesday, July 25, 2017.
People need to be prepared. They need to be ready and don't wait for somebody to ask you to evacuate your home.
Evacuations and rescues as extreme weather impacts the U.S.
New study finds today's extreme heat days are tomorrow's new normal. The Treasury Department sues ExxonMobil for violating Russia's sanctions in oil deal. Plus,
I'm not sure what climate change means.
Trump nominates non-scientist for top USDA science job.
Fantastic. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Climate change has destroyed the Great Barrier Reef, spelling disaster for miles of coral and millions of fish. But did you know global warming might also kill humans? Which saddens me because some of the people I know are human.
Not me. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, this is one of those moments in time that you have long warned about. Most of the country is absolutely sweltering right now, except for out here in the West, where we're dealing with an incoming tropical storm or a hurricane or something like that.
Yeah, and that sweltering heat, unfortunately, is not projected to get any better. A new study projects that extreme heat days that we've observed this summer, not just in the United States, but around the world, are likely to become the average summer temperatures within the next 20 years. That's by 2040. For some regions, that could happen as soon as 2020, regardless of any actions taken to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably likely to happen sooner rather than later, since we've seen so many scientific predictions that have, in fact, come to pass earlier than originally predicted.
And global warming is predicted to accelerate extreme weather. And it's happening right now. Torrential rains caused flash floods in at least two different regions of the United States on Monday, forcing evacuations and rescues. First, near Tucson, Arizona, at least 17 hikers were rescued from flash floods after being trapped overnight. And at the southern New York state border, at least 10 people were rescued from flash floods that closed a highway and forced residential evacuations. In Montana, the nation's largest wildfire, the Lodgepole Fire in eastern Montana, has burned through more than 350 square miles, larger in area than New York City. Mm. Officials say extremely hot, dry, and windy conditions have accelerated the fire's pace and created extremely dangerous fire conditions, according to Public Information Officer Jeremy Olson on Montana Public Radio.
Firefighters are experiencing anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12-foot flame lengths in that sagebrush and in the timber draw areas and stuff. It's just not safe to fight fire in there. People need to be prepared across the state of Montana.
Over in Britain, British scientists with the UK's National Weather Service, the Met Office, warned in a new study that man-made global warming has heightened the risk of multiple crop disasters occurring in major farming regions around the world simultaneously. That's due to shifting rainfall patterns and persistent extreme weather events like heat waves. And that information is kind of important, especially when, here in the nation's capital, Donald Trump has picked a non-scientist to fill one of the top science posts at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. Sam Clovis, a Trump campaign advisor and former talk radio host, has no background in the hard sciences and no experience in agriculture policy.
Yeah, but he says otherwise.
Well, in an interview with Iowa Public Radio when he was running for U.S. Senate back in 2014, Clovis called climate science junk science.
I'm extremely skeptical. I've looked at the science and I have enough of a science background to know when I'm being boofed, and I think a lot of what we see is junk science.
When he's being boofed?
Yeah, whatever that means. That's the guy who would oversee the USDA agriculture science programs.
Well, good luck, farmers.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Treasury Department has fined ExxonMobil $2 million, the maximum under law, for violating sanctions that the United States imposed on Russia. That after Exxon signed a massive oil exploration contract with Russia's state-owned oil company back in 2014, while Rex Tillerson, now U.S. Secretary of State, was the oil company's chief executive. Exxon has retaliated by filing a countersuit against the Treasury Department. Finally, just days after Tropical Storm Dawn dissipated in the Atlantic Ocean, over in the Pacific Ocean, Tropical Storm Hillary has intensified into Hurricane Hillary.
Oh, boy.
That's according to the National Hurricane Center. But again, pure coincidence. Storm names were decided more than a decade ago. But Hillary is moving away from the North American coast and poses no threat.
In any event, little surprise that Hillary turned out to be more effective than Don, for whatever it's worth. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.